Hi, this is Greg with your Oklahoma Men's Clinic. If you struggle when you snuggle, don't delay. Call us today, 405-266-3000. That's 266-3000. Or schedule your free phone consultation on the web at OKCmen.com. That's OKCmen.com.
Sports with Mark Rogers is brought to you by Bob Moore Auto Group. For over 50 years, Bob Moore has been delivering Oklahoma's biggest and best automotive selection. 10 brands, 15 dealerships, and over 2,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs. Drive Bob Moore today and experience the exception at bobmoore.com.
Well, when it happens in a hurry. Oklahoma's got a new head football coach, and it is Brent Venables. I thought it was, I don't know that anybody would ever own this or admit this, and probably shouldn't. I really felt like Venables maybe wasn't first choice when it got to the weekend. I really felt like the person that they were targeting was coaching on Saturday.
Well, I don't know. I would say that Venables was the first choice. I think it happened pretty quickly. For example, if you're targeting Luke Fickell, he's not going to be able to take the job, period,
right,
because he's going to coach in the playoff.
Right.
What other coach was coaching? If it was an assistant coach.
Dan Lanning.
If it was Dan Lanning, then he would have been able to leave.
Well, he would have been able to leave, but I don't think that probably – well, I mean, I don't know. I can't speak for somebody else. I was thinking that if it was a coordinator, a Georgia coordinator – imagine Dan Lanning leaves and they lose that game the way that they do over the weekend. That's
– right.
You know, that leaves a bad taste in people's mouths. So I felt like, well, maybe the person is coaching this weekend – and then they will be, even if they're going into the playoff or whatever, the coach would then be able to move on and feel good about it. So do you think that all these people that were saying last week, Tuesday, Wednesday, oh, it's Venables, I already know it's Venables. Do you think those people were right? I mean, what do you think was going on?
I think I missed that. I think people were wanting him. I mean, I know several former players stepped up and said that they wanted him, and I'm sure that that's someone that they, obviously they were talking to, but the point, but I don't think, to me, it wasn't decided on Tuesday or Wednesday of last week. I think they moved really quickly to get this done this fast. I mean, if you're not going to hire an internal candidate, to go through that process in a week is pretty impressive.
So what do you think now? There's other rumors that are going on too in terms of coordinators and staff and people that are going to be joining him and people that are going to be sticking around and yada, yada, yada. Any reason to assume any of that stuff is legit yet?
Well, I think Jeff Levy is a guy that really a lot of people like. He would make sense as an offensive coordinator. He coached at Baylor, coached at Ole Miss this year under Lane Kiffin, who had a really good offense and a really good quarterback. So I think that that's one thing that you can present to the team and Caleb Williams and say, hey, look, we're going to bring in an offensive coordinator that mentored one of the best quarterbacks in the country this past year. And attempt to try to keep him.
You know, I do think it's funny, and not to scratch at it very much, but I do want to make mention of the fact that when Venables left, there was not an outcry of, oh, we can't let him get away, we can't let him go, and now everybody was chomping at the bits to get him back here to be the head coach. And don't get me wrong, I'm glad he's coming back to be the head coach. I think it's the most continuity saving move that they could have made, but I do think it's interesting that all of a sudden your reputation changes over the course of time if you can weather the storm.
No, well, there's no doubt about that. I mean, look at Josh Heupel, you know,
right,
who won a national championship, the last quarterback to win a national championship. I mean, they were ready to get him out of here. Fans were not happy with the way the defense was being coordinated when Brent was here. Times have changed. I think Brent proved himself. And maybe it's just the mea culpa of the fan base of saying, hey, look, you know, we were probably wrong about what happened.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I mean, it's a tough spot, man. You come back to a place where you once were and you had success and you won and all that kind of stuff doesn't guarantee you're going to do it again.
Right.
You know?
Well, and that's part of the reason. That's what I kept talking about when I filled in for you last week and I talked to you about it a little bit. All the more reason to me why I'm making $2 million a year. I'm a coordinator. I don't have the stress. I'm winning championships. Things are going well here. Why rock the boat? And I felt like And I still, I mean, maybe Oklahoma was the only head coaching job that Brent Venables would even consider taking, and the job just hadn't been available because the transition from Stoops to Riley was so seamless that there was no opening for him to even be considered as a candidate. Maybe Oklahoma's the only job he ever would have taken, but I was convinced that he just didn't want to be a head coach.
I think the Oklahoma job is pretty special. I mean, you know, some of the other jobs that have been out there for him, I don't know. I mean, maybe there were a couple other jobs that he would have taken, but you know, I think the Oklahoma job is a pretty good job.
Now, the defense, you mentioned him coordinating. You mentioned the issues when he left here. Is he, like, what's the process going to be? Is he going to get a defensive coordinator that's basically going to be that's going to be following his lead because he is such a defensive guy, or is he going to hire somebody to be the coordinator and let them do their thing? What do you think is going to happen in regards to the defense now at Oklahoma?
Well, I would think that he's going to absolutely have to hire a coordinator.
He's going to have to have a coordinator, but is it going to be a full true coordinator, or is it going to be somebody that sort of institutes his plans and processes?
Yeah, I would think he'd find a guy that was kind of, you know, believed in some of the same things that he did. And I think, you know, the biggest deal with defense, man, is players. They're going to have to find some of the guys that Brent recruited to Clemson and try to get some of those players to come to Oklahoma. I mean, that's going to be the biggest situation for me.
And maybe that's possible. I mean, we saw what Lincoln Riley did, and so maybe there are some commits that they've got out there that maybe would consider coming to Oklahoma. I mean, it's not quite the same. Well, maybe it is the same. I mean, Oklahoma hadn't won a championship in 20 years. Clemson's won two in the last 10 years, so it's a little bit different. But you know, Lincoln Riley was able to spin those guys overnight, seemingly, from Oklahoma to USC, and so maybe Venables could do the same with some defensive players.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's possible, but I think Brent does, you know, have a good lay of the land and, you know, and from his time here. So I think that recruiting for sure is going to be a strength of his.
So you think he was the guy from the get-go?
I do. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I just thought it was interesting. I heard so many people starting to, at the end of the week, Thursday, Friday of last week, including you on Friday, starting to pay a lot of attention to Dan Lanning. And so I kind of felt like maybe there's some reason for that smoke, that maybe he was going to be the guy. Plus Georgia was playing over the weekend. I say playing in the loosest sense of the word, because I don't know what they've done all season long until this weekend, and I certainly don't know where that version of this Alabama team has been all season long. But man, what a shock!
Oh, no doubt. They just got after him. Georgia is really good up front, and Alabama probably the best passing team that Georgia's faced all season long, and they were able to do whatever they wanted.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Throwing the football on Saturday. That didn't look like a fluke to me. I mean,
no, they got dominated.
Yeah.
I mean, that was not really even much of a game. And the second half, forget about it. It was all Alabama.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if Georgia's, you know, that loss kind of just shows their weaknesses, and teams weren't able to exploit them this year really at any time with that schedule.
Well,
so.
And this Alabama team, I mean, we've said all season long, or I've said all season long, even if you haven't, this is not the Alabama teams that we've seen over the last 4 or 5 years. And so for them to come out and play the way that they did on that stage was just amazing to me. I mean, I don't know how much it was them being coached up, how much of it was something else that was going on over the course of the season, but they did not look like – I mean, think about last week in the Iron Bowl. You would think that coming off of that team – and we're going to talk about the Big 12 championship game in a second. You talk about the emotional impact of that game carrying over to this week. I would have said, if anything, Alabama would be hung over and struggle. And, man, they just came out and looked like world beaters. Based off of what we saw this weekend, I think you're hard-pressed to handicap anybody below Alabama going into the playoff.
I agree. I think that, you know, don't underestimate the coaching that Nick Saban did. Man, he's a great coach.
I gotta
they
believe
got better
that
as the year went along. But it is strange though, from the Iron Bowl where they were sacked seven times to no sacks against what's considered to be the best defensive front in the country.
Yeah, it's crazy. Okay, so now speaking of being hungover, I know that it's hard to beat a team twice in a season. But first off, let me say this to Oklahoma State fans. If you had a quarterback that was dependable, you might win the national championship this year. Because I think that team is that good. I think they've got great receivers. What's his name? The running back was hurt and didn't play on Saturday. That hurt things. But really, the difference in that team and the difference in that ball game was Spencer Sanders.
Yeah, he did not play well. He got his confidence rattled early, and then I thought just was indecisive in the entire game. Baylor's defense has something to do with that, but there's a lot of plays that he could have made in that game, and they just didn't. The defense gave up 30 yards in the second half, and so it's really disappointing. It was a great crowd in Arlington. The Cowboys fans really rallied and supported the team.
It looks like both schools' fans. I mean, what a great atmosphere that it looked packed with both teams' fans, because Baylor's so close and Oklahoma State traveled a bunch of people. And, I mean, they were into it. It was really, the crowd was rocking and it was great. And the fact that it came down to the end was fantastic. It just didn't go Oklahoma State's way. I'll say this for Baylor, too. That freshman quarterback impressed the hell out of me.
He was good. Yeah.
I mean, I think it helped him that he played in the second half last week. But, man, to come in on that stage and have to play at that level, and he didn't miss a beat. I mean, he didn't have that great of a second half. Their offense was not that great down the stretch. But, man, they look like they're going to be good for a while.
Well, and one of the bigger things is that it was so much different of a scheme that Oklahoma State faced earlier in the year, where they have run-heavy sets and a lot of different formations. And then for him to get off to such a great start throwing the ball, I don't think he missed, and he made a couple throws into the end zone on third down that were couldn't have been in a better spot. So, yeah, Baylor has to be pretty happy with the way that he played.
Now, how's this for a reward? You go from going into the playoff. Oklahoma State wins. They're in the playoff. Even if Alabama wins, Oklahoma State's going to get in. You go from being in.
That would have been interesting. I'm not sure. I mean,
you don't think so?
I think they would have. It would have been really close. I would have given him more of a chance in Cincinnati.
I think they would have edged out Cincinnati. I think Oklahoma State would have been in. But anyway, that's all like speculation. It doesn't matter at this point. But you go from potentially going into the playoff to playing Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl. I mean, that is, it'll be a good game, but man, that's not an easy draw for your bowl game, considering you're not going to be in the playoff.
But it's a great matchup.
It's a great matchup.
Yes, and I think OSU can beat Notre Dame. They have to get a lot better play from the quarterback, but that's awesome. I'm not sure that Oklahoma State's ever played Notre Dame. I don't think they have.
Well, that's interesting. And Oklahoma is going to play in the Alamo Bowl in San Antonio, and they will be playing. I'm trying to spin through my
first
chart.
First time
here
ever for the Alamo Bowl for Oklahoma.
Oklahoma and Oregon. So now, what's the timetable on Venables? Will he be at the Alamo Bowl, or is he going to coach through? Well, he can't coach. He's got to start recruiting for Oklahoma. So is Stoops going to be on the sideline with Venables? Like, what's going to happen at the Alamo Bowl when Oklahoma plays Oregon and looks for a little revenge?
I don't know. I think we'll probably find out today at 10:30 when Brent's introduced. So, that's a good question. There's no reason why he wouldn't coach. I mean, he's a new coach.
Well,
so,
I can think of 325,000 reasons why he might not be if I'm.
Well, right. Maybe Bob stays around and hangs out. But I think that Brent will coach.
So I don't think that this is wrong in the playoff lineup. Because I think Georgia getting dominated the way that they did by Alabama, I felt it's completely warranted for them to fall to number three, especially Michigan won big. But don't you think that there was a little bit of manipulation there to make sure that Alabama-Georgia didn't play again in the first round of the playoff?
Probably, yes. And I think they're not supposed to look at it that way, but I'm glad that it did work out that way, because we may get a rematch the second week. But
that's fine, getting it in the championship game. But I didn't want to see it in the first round. But I'll tell you this, I don't feel bad about the way that they did it, because the way Michigan won, now I know they were playing Iowa, so it's a little bit different, but they won huge, and Georgia got dominated. So the fact that they fell to three and Michigan stayed at number two, I got no problem with that, or moved to number two. I got no problem with that.
No, I agree. I think we got a couple of pretty good matchups.
And Cincinnati gets in. Now they got to play Alabama, but now you can put up or shut up, right? We've seen that especially we see it in basketball, where on one game, one team can win. And Alabama has had times, I mean, they weren't that team this weekend, but they've had times this season that they have looked completely beatable, and Cincinnati's beaten some people big. But, I can't imagine that Cincinnati can beat Alabama, but you got your shot. That's what you wanted, and now you got it.
That's right. And Cincinnati played Georgia last year in the Peach Bowl and played really well. I mean, they played them right down to the wire. So I think everybody will be, collectively the college football world will probably be pulling for Cincinnati here.
So New Year's Eve, we got Alabama-Cincinnati in the Cotton Bowl, and you got Michigan-Georgia in the Orange Bowl, and then the two winners will meet for the championship on January 10th.
That is correct.
In Indianapolis. Yes. Yeah. All right, Mark, appreciate it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in sports that we could be talking about, but it's all college football. You're going to be in Norman? You're going to be at the presser today?
Yes. Yes. All
right, very good.
We'll go over there and see it.
We'll see. If Venable says anything of significance that we need to talk about, we may call you tomorrow. But otherwise, okay, we'll talk about
Sounds good.
Friday. All right. Thanks,
Mark. Good deal.
Rick and Brad on Rock 100.5, The Cat.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.